This episode of the Kona Edge is brought to you by Wheel Science. If you're looking for world-class carbon wheels that are UCI approved, come with a lifetime warranty and shipped free worldwide, then check out Wheel Science. Get all the performance at half the price, and when you use the coupon code KONAEDGE at checkout, you'll get an extra 10% discount. To learn more, head over to thekonaedge.com/wheels to find out more, or click on the link in your podcast player now. That's thekonaedge.com/wheels.
This is the Kona Edge, the home of Ironman triathletes who dream of qualifying for the World Championships on the Big Island.
Welcome on to this edition of the Kona Edge, and we head to Sydney in Australia, down under, to catch up with our next guest, Jacinta Orland. Jacinta, welcome onto the podcast. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you. Thanks for inviting me.
Jacinta, I'm excited to have you on. We tend to chat to quite a few Aussies, and I think Australia is very similar to South Africa, where I am. From a climate perspective, it really does lend itself well to the sport of triathlon. And I know in Sydney there's a massive sort of triathlon culture. Tell me a little bit about how you got into the sport.
So I did competitive swimming growing up, although I started late. I was 15. And I forced my parents to take me training, which was about a 25-kilometer drive. So we carpooled. And anyway, I in my swimming squads, Tim Bentley, like from years ago, and a few professionals, Greg Stewart, this is when I lived in Victoria, were in my swim squad. And they always used to say to me, oh, you've got to start triathlon, blah, blah. And I was like, yeah, one day. Anyway, I never did then. And then 10 years later, I came to Sydney and I joined a running group. And my girlfriend said to me, hey, you should come and do the triathlon on the weekend. I've got a bike for you. It's all ready to go. And I was like, okay. So I went and did the club race. I think I got first or second. I can't remember. And from that day on, I was hooked. And that's a bit over 20 years ago, I think.
Wow. Do you sort of have it, knowing what you know now and what you've done in the sport, do you kind of have a regret that you didn't start earlier?
Not really, because I probably wouldn't have gotten as far as I probably wouldn't have, done Hawaii last year, I guess. I could have got maybe over it earlier. I'm not too sure. And I think, like, it's a sport that is better suited when you are a bit older.
Mm. Especially the longer stuff.
Yeah, exactly. So I started doing Olympic distance. I did 3 world championships as an age grouper. Then I got my pro license briefly, and then ventured into the long course stuff and got my pro license and did that for a few years, and then, did the Ironman.
Tell me a little bit about growing up swimming. You mentioned starting late at 15, 16, and some people are going, late, that's like really early. But in swimming terms, if you want to be competitive, you almost need to be born in the water and never leave.
Yeah, exactly. Like in Australia, they're throwing kids in the pool at, as soon as they can't even walk, they're in swimming lessons. So I think it's just, in Australia, it's just the thing that we do, start kids young in swimming lessons and being able to save themselves more than, be amazing swimmers. But most kids, do swim lessons young. I never did. I just did the school regular ones and learned how to swim there, and then, just loved it.
Were you pretty competitive as a youngster?
I did so many sports growing up. I did gymnastics, tennis, hockey, netball, swimming, athletics. You name it, I do it.
Jack of all trades.
Master of none. Yep. Jack of all trades, yeah.
Were you any good at any of them? I mean, did you compete at a high level in any of those sports?
I used to get to, state level in swimming and stuff, but I was never amazing at any of them because I think I just did too many. I didn't really focus on one. I just love sport. I was forever walking around the house on my hands and driving my parents nuts, not being able to sit still.
It sounds like not much has changed, Jacinta.
No, not much has changed.
Tell me a little bit about that first race. On a borrowed bike, not having done any bike training, do you remember that first race?
Yeah, I do. And it was a red Centurion bike steel frame. It weighed, you know, I don't know what it weighed, but it was really heavy. And I had clip-in shoes and I was like, how the hell am I going to do this? But anyway, I just got in and did it. And yeah, I don't know, just rode around. It was the club races back then, up at Warriewood. I think we did like four loops of a circuit on the bike and then jumped off and ran my heart out, which has always been my best leg. Funnily enough. Yeah. And I just, yeah, from then on, I was just like, this is the best.
What was it? I mean, often we get suckered into doing things, and I don't want to say against our will, but often it's the case. I can think of my first cycling race. I was like, somebody asked me if I wanted to do it, and I was like, I'd love to do it, but I don't have a bike. And 2 days later, they had organized me a bike, and all of a sudden, you sort of fall into it, but you fall in love with it. What was the attraction for you?
I don't know. I think it was the challenge of it, and it was something new. And I mean, it was two of my greatest loves, like running and swimming, as part of the one race. And also like the people, that I've met, you know, through the sport. I guess like all my closest friends now I've pretty much met through triathlon. So I guess, yeah, it's just the community spirit of it, as well as, you know, the challenge and the physicality of it.
We're not going to give away your age, but like you said, you've been around the sport for 20 years, which means you must have started when you were about three, Jacinta. what's the secret to longevity in the sport? Often I speak to age groupers who come in, they're here for a season or two or three, they qualify, they race on the Big Island, and never hear from them again. What's been your secret to staying around for as long as you have?
I think I've been like really good in terms of like biomechanically I'm built great, other than I do have a bit of knee injury at the moment for the first time in forever that I've never been injured before. And I always knew how to pull back if something was a niggle or I didn't feel like 100%. And I just never really overdid it. So I think like I didn't burn myself out ever. And there was times where I probably didn't race for a year, but I kept fit anyway. And then as soon as I got that real fire in my belly again, I'd go and say, right, I'm going to do Kona next year. And then what races can I do to lead up? And kind of tackled it that way, I think.
Talk to me about the progression. You mentioned starting out on that first race and then racing at the Olympic distance level and then eventually moving up to the longer Ironman distance. What was your progression? How long after you got into the sport did you do your first Iron distance race?
Let me think. I started when I was 25. I did three Olympic distance age group world champs. So I did Lausanne in Switzerland, I did Montreal and Perth. And then I think it was after Perth I thought, oh, I'm going to try half Ironman up in Foster, which used to be the home of the Australian Ironman. And I must admit, I qualified for my first age group Olympic distance, I think it was 3 months after I started triathlon, which is a bit insane. And I'm like, right, I'm going to go. And I'd never been overseas before. So I landed in Lausanne and it was the most amazing experience ever. And I think that kind of hooked me a little bit as well. But yes, I did the three Olympic world champs. And then probably only 3.5 years later, I started the longer stuff. And then I think I did maybe three halves and then thought, I might try an Ironman. So my first Ironman was in Foster as well. And I kind of said to myself, and this is secretly no one else would, I told, because they would be thinking, oh, you've got to take a lend of yourself. Like, you think you're great. I wanted to, you know, break 10 hours and get top 10. And sure enough, I got seventh overall of all the females. And I think I did 9:56 or 9:57 in my first Ironman on a road bike that didn't, you know, back then and I did it in a swimsuit. So I didn't have any of the equipment or any of the fancy stuff. And I just went out there and did it. And, you know, that's still to this day one of my better Ironman races, actually.
That's incredible. As far as distance goes, what are your favorite? What's your favorite? Do you prefer the shortest stuff or do you prefer the long ones?
To be honest, like I like doing the Ironman. I don't even know how many Ironman I've done. It's not a huge amount. It's less than 10. I think it might be 7. Two of those have been, Hawaii. Just the training is so much easier for a half. Like the training for a full Ironman is so taxing, like mentally and physically. And I've always worked full time and, you know, had to support myself as well. And I just think it's just a lot easier and manageable for the halves. But the challenge of the full is just, there's nothing else like finishing an Ironman. So, you know, I think you get suckered into that a bit.
Tell me about that first one. I'm fascinated. You obviously have ability. I mean, to go under 10 in your first Ironman on a clunky bike, as you mentioned, in a swimsuit. When did you realize, you know what, I'm actually pretty good at this? I mean, you had been to world champs before, but when did the penny drop where you went, you know what, I could actually do this and race at a very competitive level?
Yeah, it's funny you say that. I kind of, when I look back in hindsight, I kind of wish I gave it a proper crack at some point at the right age, you know, maybe early 30s. But I didn't, and that's fine. Like, I've gone on and had a great career in what I do for work and had a great balance of both, being able to do both, which is amazing. A lot of people, you know, put all their eggs in one basket and then, you know, have nothing behind them when they decide, well, I can't race anymore. But yeah, I knew that I was okay. I mean, it wasn't amazing, but, and then, you know, it started getting a bit boring winning all the eight. It sounds awful. Winning the age group races, it was not really a challenge anymore. So I was like, well, maybe I'll try this pro thing. So I got my pro license and started doing a few professionally. You know, I got a few top fives, but that was probably about it. There was no way I was going to be more competitive than that when I was working full time. And yeah, and then I decided, oh, I'll go back to age group. Although there is a funny story. I raced in WA, and that was my fastest Ironman I did in. It was the first year, I think, of the WA Ironman. I did 9:46 and qualified for Kona. And then straight away, I got my pro license and then realized that I couldn't actually then go and race in Kona as an age grouper. So I had to, I'd paid for my spot and then realized, oh gosh, what have I done? I can't even go and race now. So, I think that was in, 2004. And then I didn't actually qualify again until, 2013.
Big gap in between, and I want to just touch on the turning pro and just the difference in levels of competition. We've spoken, funnily enough, the last few weeks here on the podcast, people who have just taken up their pro cards. Is the jump as big as people think it is?
I think, like, this is such a long time ago for me. I think the jump then maybe not so much, but now it's definitely a much more professional sport. The level and standard is so much higher than it was back then. So back then, I don't think it's as much as it is today for the athletes that are attempting that.
Yeah, I mean, it is
so much more competitive.
It is massive, and there's a lot more athletes as well. And you must have seen it over your career, where you said you qualified back then, and then it was almost 10 years later that you qualified again. Have you seen big changes in the sport across the board, whether it's level of competition? I mean, what are some of the big changes that you've seen over the years?
I mean, like, the training principles and stuff, I haven't seen a huge amount of change in. Well, certainly not from my perspective. Obviously, like, technology plays a big part. I think people are more, we know from the crawl at Hawaii and whatever that was with Sean and that nutrition plays such a strong part in a race now, and we probably never paid as much attention to that as the, you know, I call it the fourth leg. If you don't get that right, then especially in an Ironman, you're going to suffer. But yeah, it's definitely come on a long way, and there's a lot more females doing it these days than back then as well, and the depth of the fields is so much stronger.
Yeah.
I mean, when you go to Hawaii now in your age group, it's like phenomenal. I think the girl that won my age group last year, she was the first age grouper, and it was in the 45 to 49 age category. She did some phenomenal time. I was like, that's just like unbelievable. I don't know. I need a bit of what she's on. I'm not sure.
just to talk to me about racing and getting older. Not that you're old. I'm also in my 40s, but it gets harder and harder to get out of bed in the mornings. Everything creaks and croaks. What are some of the struggles that you're dealing with now from an aging perspective and still racing?
Do you know what? I got so injured at Hawaii last year. I'm not even considering another race at this point in time. I'm thinking I'm hung up my shoes. I'm not 100% saying that, but at this point in time, I've just had this knee niggle since Hawaii. I did a race in Malaysia 4 weeks before Hawaii, and it was probably one of the best races I've ever done. And somehow between then and Hawaii, well, getting home, my knee just completely blew up and just patellofemoral. And look, I've had a couple of MRIs and I've done a lot of running over the years and got grade 4 cartilage damage pretty much in both knees. So I think my days are numbered in terms of doing the long stuff anymore. And look, I think I've done what I needed to do, I think, for now. I don't know.
Never say never.
Never say never. No, but definitely, I haven't had an injury until now. So, and I think age and, you know, wear and tear is a big, you know, contributing factor as well. So I still do, you know, I still get up every morning, go exercise, and I wouldn't have life any other way, that's for sure.
Absolutely. What are some of the biggest lessons that triathlon, life lessons that triathlon's taught you?
Oh my God, like the things that I've been able to take into, you know, other facets of my life, just being disciplined and motivated and driven and, you know, goal orientated and competitive, like just being competitive in different environments. I mean, some people think it's a bad thing, but I think it really brings out the best in you in a lot of different circumstances as well. So I reckon they're probably the main things. And it's funny because my brother never did any like competitive sport as such, and we're such different people. And I really think like my sports, you know, enhanced me as a person, and it's really made me grow and be a better person on so many other levels.
I find that interesting. We were having this conversation about kids growing up in the same household, and we were talking about my kids, and I've got three, and how different each one of them are. I mean, the environmental sort of factors are all the same, and I find it interesting that you say your brother never did sort of any competitive sort of sport. Why do you think that is? What was it within you that drove you down this path?
Yeah, I don't. And you know, the funny thing was, my brother probably had more natural ability than me in any sport, anything he did. It was whether it was music or sport or school. I don't know. I just had the tenacity to want to be better. I don't know what. I don't know what that was innately in me, or I don't know. Yeah, that's a really weird one. I mean, we got the same upbringing, so I don't know what drove me. I think it was the joy and the what I got out of it, more so, that drove me to just keep wanting to do it and be better and, you know, achieve more.
Talk to me about life.
I was just going to say, and I've always been like driven by the challenge of things. So, and I'm kind of like, okay, so what's next now? Like, he dust my hands and okay, then what next? that is slowing down as far as you know.
talk to me about life outside of triathlon. You mentioned that you've been pretty good at having balance across the board. What do you do outside of the sports? Is there life outside of the sport? I don't know.
Yeah, there's a big life outside of the sport. I have like a big circle of friends as well. And, you know, as I mentioned, a lot of those I've met through triathlon. But I just finished 10 years working for Australia's biggest telecommunications company, Telstra. I actually took long service leave late last year to train for Hawaii. And I started my own business as well at the same time, selling beach umbrellas. So if anyone wants a beach umbrella out there. And during that time, they had a big restructure at my work, and I put my hand up for voluntary redundancy. And so I was able to have that 3 months off to train for Hawaii, and then I pretty much came back to work for a week, and then I finished up after 10 years there. Mainly was in sales, and then the last 3 years was in customer experience. And then I took summer off and focused on my business. And then I got a just recently got a job at Dell EMC here in Sydney, which I'm sort of 2.5 months in, but I'm loving that. It's in sales. Yeah, it's great. I'm really enjoying it. So that's been my biggest focus of the most recent times.
Tell me about the beach umbrellas.
Yeah, so beach umbrellas. I wanted to buy a beach umbrella in January a year ago. I couldn't find one anywhere. And I randomly, when I went and raced in China where I qualified for Kona the last time I went, which was at a half Ironman in Lezhou, I met a guy who sourced supplies in China. And I said, I've got this crazy idea. I really want to import my own umbrellas. He's like, oh, I can help you source a supplier, blah, blah, blah. So he started to help me and we got connected. And then he couldn't get really that I wanted to do patterns and funky designs and the likes, and he couldn't source manufacturers that could do that. So I got onto Alibaba and I found a manufacturer and I designed my own umbrellas and imported 500 of them late last year. I've sold half of them, which was, you know, I've pretty much broken even. It was, and you know what, probably setting up that business was probably the hardest thing I've ever done and the thing I've learned the most out of. And if I knew what I knew now, probably would I have done it? Maybe not.
I love that. What a cool story. Talk to me about, I know you're saying that you're pretty much done with the long stuff, but is there still something you want to achieve in the sport? Is there something that you've yet to tick off that list?
I mean, I must admit, I've never done Kona well. The first time I got hyponatremia, the second time I had the sore knee, I just have never run well in Kona. I mean, it's such a hard race. I mean, I'd love to nail it, but I think those days are behind me now.
What makes it so tough, Jacinda?
What makes it so tough? I think it's obviously like a climb escape. I think you probably put a bit more pressure on yourself for that race because it's world champ. I don't know what it is. It's definitely that, you know, you've really got to know your nutrition for that race. And if you don't, you're paid, you know, sweet dividends. I don't know. It's just a hard race to nail.
I mean, we always talk about it here on the podcast that Ironman as a race is tough to nail because it's so long and there's so many different factors. To get everything right on the day is, I don't want to say it's virtually impossible, but it's really difficult. I mean, to have everything work out 100% is tough. Do you feel that you've had the perfect Ironman race? Not obviously not Kona, but any other race?
Yeah, I definitely had races where everything that I more in the half though. The longs are just that next level to get everything right, just because anything can go wrong and something minor can go wrong and have, you know, bad effects. But definitely halves, I've done quite a few of those and gone, yeah, that was a good race.
Talking.
I don't know if you ever nail it.
Yeah, I mean, it is tough. And like I said, there's just so many factors that go into it that I don't want to use the word impossible because obviously that goes against what Ironman is. Anything is possible, but it is. It makes it really tough. Talk to me about beginners getting into the sport now. Knowing what you know now, if you could go back and give yourself advice or give someone who's a newbie some advice, what would you tell them?
It's funny because I just sat down with a girl recently and she's like, I really want to get into it. And it seems really overwhelming. And I think that's why I didn't start earlier. I just thought, you know, I've got to buy a bike. I've got to have all this equipment, you know, how am I going to fit all the training in? I think like it's the environment that you train in. It's the people that you train with. So I think that's a really important aspect to get into early on, like getting a good group, get some good guidance, like, not necessarily you need a one-on-one coach, but some kind of guidance to, you know, map your training program out and just go and enjoy it. Like, you know, do the distances that you love, and when you're ready to step up, then do it, but don't do it too early. I think some kids these days, you know, think, oh, you know, I need to do Ironman now, but just be patient. And you know when the right time is to, you know, go tackle the longer stuff.
What's the secret to qualifying for Kona?
I don't know, because every time I wanted to qualify, I've just gone and done it, and that sounds so cocky. But I think to really choose the race that suits you. So if you're not strong on the hills, don't go and tackle an Ironman that's got heaps of hills. Or, and I've been so lucky, I qualified twice at two halves for Kona, which is a bit tricky. One was in Auckland. It was Asia Pacific Championships, and they had one spot in age group, and I won my age group there. And then in Lejeune last year, they had 20-25 spots, and I had to win my age group, and I went and did that as well. So I've been kind of blessed, I must admit, in qualifying.
Talk to me about the experience of Kona as a whole. What's the attraction? Well, I mean, you mentioned how tough it is and how difficult it is to string together a good race, but what's the attraction to keep going back? Doing it once and ticking that box is cool, but to go back?
And do you know what, actually, just on that last point, I actually qualified at WA in 2014 and took my spot, and decided that my heart wasn't in it enough to do all the training, and I actually withdrew from that year. I think it was 2014. That was within the last 5 years, maybe 2 years ago. Yeah, anyway. So, yeah, I just thought in my heart of hearts, I wasn't in it 100%, and you need to be in 100% to actually commit to the training and, you know, make it to the start line. And I just felt that year I didn't have it. So I just said, nah, this isn't my year, and I just didn't go.
How tough was it to make that decision?
It was really hard, because the time of qualifying, everyone's like, well, you've got to take the spot, like, as if you go and race. And this was at a full Ironman in WA. And they go, if you don't, like, take the spot, like, come on. And I was like, yeah, okay. And I actually did take insurance out, because I was kind of like, oh, I'm not sure about this. And anyway, yeah, it was a hard decision, but it felt right. It just felt like it was the right decision for that year.
Brilliant. Jacinta, how much of what you've been able to achieve do you put down to genetics, and how much of it do you put down to just sheer hard work?
Oh, look, I reckon a lot genetics, to be completely honest. That sounds awful. I mean, hard work does pay off, but I think if you've got a good basis from genetics, it definitely goes a long way to helping you become, you know, a better athlete. But also, you know, you've got to be dedicated to your training and have a great, good program and structure, but also a really good balance. I think, you know, having a balance outside the sport helped me. Like, you know, I wouldn't need to be in bed at 8 o'clock every day, and I, you know, socialize with friends, and I'd still go out and drink alcohol if I wanted to, and I just wouldn't go overboard. I just reckon everything in moderation is good.
What are you most proud of over your 20-odd years in the sport?
I just think, like, wanting to be a better athlete, like, and striving for more, and wanting to learn, you know, different ways of training, or I don't really have one particular moment, really. I must admit, you know, finishing, crossing the finish line of the first Hawaii Ironman's pretty special.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not that I can really remember it, but yeah.
Well, biggest regret, what do you regret the most?
I think maybe not giving it a proper go when I was a bit younger, like a full, like, you know, maybe, you know, quitting my job and, or, you know, working a couple of days a week, because I think doing no work's not a good thing. Then you're just so focused on training and you've got nothing else. I think that's a little bit too much investment, but potentially just giving it a proper crack for a year or two. I reckon I could have gone, you know, quite well at Kona one if I had done that. But, yeah.
Brilliant. Well, Jacinta, it's been great catching up. I look forward to talking about the individual disciplines, but we'll save that for next time out. Thanks for your time on the Kona Edge.
Okay, thank you.
If you've enjoyed this episode of the Kona Edge, I want to invite you to check out the Coach Parry Training Club. The Coach Parry Training Club is the essential resource for anyone at any stage of their triathlon journey. Whether you're just starting out in the sport and training for your first sprint distance race, or if you've been around the block a few times and are looking to take your Ironman performance to the next level, then the Coach Parry Training Club can help you. Developed by Double Olympic and Commonwealth Games triathlon coach Lindsay Parry and myself, the Coach Parry Training Club is the go-to online platform for your training needs. It's like having a coach in your pocket. Get 20% off when you join the Coach Parry Training Club by using the coupon code KONA at checkout. Head over to thekonaedge.com/coach or click on the link in your podcast player now. That's thekonaedge.com/coach.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Kona Edge. Don't forget to connect with us on social media. Simply search for the Kona Edge. We'll be right back.